Well, thank you everyone for coming at the end of your day. I appreciate you making time. I am from Kaiser Permanente, and I'm going to talk to you about how the members of Kaiser are using our personal health record to manage their health. So I have no relationships to disclose. A little bit about Kaiser Permanente. We're one of the nation's largest integrated healthcare organizations, operating in 9 states and the District of Columbia. At the end of last year, we had 8.9 million members. This entire analysis is based on data from last year, end of 2011. At the end of that 8.9 million members, we had 3.8 million registered to use our patient portal, which is kp.org. On kp.org, members can create an account, and this is where they manage, access their PHR and do things like send emails, secure emails to doctors, refill prescriptions. They can view eligibility and benefits information, past visit information. There are also a lot of features available on the site that don't require sign-on that are available to our members as well as the general public, things like a drug encyclopedia and a health encyclopedia that are also used. Use of the site has grown over the years. Last year we had over 74 million people, million sign-ons to the site. So those would all be members signing on to the site in 1 year. And we really think at Kaiser that kp.org is helping our members manage their health in a new way. And that way is that some of the things they've done last year, our members scheduled 2.7 million appointments online. So that's one of the features available. Members can go online to schedule an appointment with their doctor or specialist sometimes. They also refilled prescriptions, so members can go online, see a list of their prescriptions, and can refill those, have them sent to their home or picked up at the pharmacy. Our members sent over 12 million emails to physicians and other providers last year. Now, these are secure emails. This is not Gmail or Yahoo. This is through our system. Members really like this feature. And our members last year viewed nearly 30 million lab test results online. This is a great feature. A lot of people like this. The lab test results are viewed as they're available, so you may have blood drawn for a series of tests. I've had tests, blood drawn in my lunch hour, got back to my desk at work, and already within 30 minutes I've had some test results available. So it's a great feature. So that's what some of our members did last year. I want to talk a little bit, before we get into this too much, about who these people are. Like, who is the 3.8 million people that are registered, what they look like. So the height of the bar here represents the number of adult KP members in each gender. So we had this entire analysis is based on adult members 18 and over. Last year we had 3.5 million women at KP, and 61% of them had registered for the website, compared to 50% of the men in our population. Looking at the age groups, we looked at several different age combinations to come up with some group categories. We decided on these three. We thought they really provided the most meaningful distinctions. And the story here, I think, is really great, is that we have a very active senior population. So we have well over a million members at Kaiser who are over 65, or 65 or over. It's our Medicare population. And 54% of them, that's over 600,000 of them, have registered to use the site, which we're really excited about. When looking at the population, we looked here at the four largest racial ethnic groups. We know there are others, but these are by far the four largest groups in our population. And you see that our white members were most likely to register for the site. 65% of the members registered for the site last year. So that's a little about who these people are. Our first research question was to look at how these people are using the website and how it differs. And so we chose to look at, for each of these features, the four features I discussed, we looked at whether or not a member did at least one of these things in the year. So did they view at least one lab test result? Did they send at least one email? And to look at this data, we chose to use our KP member voice panel. This is a panel of about 25,000 members who have agreed to participate in surveys, focus groups, that sort of thing for us. The great thing about these people is when they join the panel, they fill out a lengthy questionnaire, which is a lot of information about them that we don't know anywhere else. We don't have information in Kaiser or anywhere else about like this, and so it's a great source of information for us. So we took that demographic information, we joined it with our administrative data that we have. In this case, we used doctor's office visits, and we also joined that with website utilization data. So we looked up number of emails sent, number of labs viewed, that sort of thing. So I think this is a really strong strong point of this analysis is that we took the self-reported data and combined it with actual use. It was the use I'm going to talk about is not self-reported, it's actual use that we tracked on the site. So our independent variables were gender, age, race, ethnicity, education, income, and doctor's office visits. And the four dependent variables we're going to look at are lab tests, secure emails — that's lab tests viewed, I should say, lab tests viewed online — secure emails, prescription refills done online, and appointments scheduled online. So as I said before, we're going to look at the percent of people who did at least one of these transactions. For lab tests, we looked at, we found that 80% of the people in our sample viewed at least one lab test result in 2011. 80% of the women, I'm sorry. And that compares with 77% of the men. And that's a significant difference there. Emails, we found 71% of the women and 67% of the men viewed or sent an email last year, and also a significant difference. For Rx refill, it was not a significant difference. About half of the members refilled at least one prescription. And appointments also was not significant, with around 40% of people scheduling an appointment online. We looked at the same, we had women were more likely to send, to view lab test results and to send emails. We also looked at the information by age. And here, I think the overall story is that our older members were more likely to do one or more thing. And in all categories, the differences were significant, except for appointments, where we found that our younger members were a little more likely to have scheduled an appointment online. Looking at the racial ethnic groups, again, all four categories were significant here, differences in all four categories. And here, I think that the overall story we found was that our Hispanic members were least likely to have done one of these transactions in the year. We looked at it by income as well. And here we saw that emails, sending emails to doctors, and scheduling appointments online were the two features that had significant differences, with members with higher income more likely to do both of those things. I also mentioned that we looked at education. There were no significant differences in education, so I didn't include a slide on that. Our second research question was to use the demographic characteristic to find out which demographic characteristics predicted PHR use. So prior, we looked at people who did one or more thing. In this analysis, we looked at how many things they did, how many lab test results they viewed, how many emails they sent. To do this, we used our same variables, independent variables, and we did four multiple regressions to see how the six independent variables predicted use of the four dependent variables. So the first thing we're going to look at lab test results viewed online. I'm only going to talk about the things that were significant here. So there were four variables that were significant predictors of whether a member would view a lab test result online. Doctor's office visits was the strongest predictor, actually, of the variation in lab test results, which makes sense. People go to the doctor, they have blood work done. People who visit the doctor more often had more lab tests, viewed more lab tests online. Age was also a significant predictor, not as strong as office visits, but our older members were viewing more lab tests online. We found that our Asian members also were viewing more lab test results, and you see female has a negative coefficient. That's actually, so men were viewing more lab test results online than women in this case. Looking at emails to doctors, again, office visits, a predictor of the number of emails sent to doctors, which again makes sense. I think often members will email prior to a visit. A visit might result in an email, or email after a visit, you know, following up on things. Age here as a negative coefficient, so our younger members were more likely to email a doctor than older members. Higher income also was related to more emails to doctors, and our African American members were less likely to email a doctor. So for prescription refills online, this is where things got a little bit different, and some interesting things came up, we thought. First of all, you'll notice that there are a lot more significant variables. The other thing that was interesting was the office visits. The predictor was lower here. It was still significant, but the coefficient was 0.41 and 0.45 for the other two features, and here it's 0.16. And it's actually equal to age as a predictor. Here, age, older members, refilling more prescriptions. We had our white members refilling more prescriptions than the other racial groups, members with lower education refilling more, and men, again, refilling more prescriptions online. So one thing I want to make sure it's clear about this, these are prescription refills. So you go to the doctor and you get a prescription, that's not counted here. It's when you go to refill the prescription online. That's what we're counting. So we think that could be why office visits is less of a predictor, because you don't always need an office visit to get a refill, right? So the last feature we're going to talk about are appointments scheduled online. Here again, we see office visits as a significant predictor. But again, the coefficient is lower, and we have our younger members more likely to scheduling more appointments. Asian members were scheduling fewer appointments, and Hispanic members scheduling fewer appointments. This one kind of puzzled us at first. We expected that office visits here would have a really strong relationship to appointments scheduled online. I think you would expect, of all the features, these would be the most related. So digging in a little bit deeper, we realized what was going on. And one thing that's happening is how we're defining the types of appointments here. So our metric, it's office visits, includes visits to your primary care physician as well as visits to specialists. Okay, now, appointments scheduled online, there are a limited number or number of type of appointments that are available to be scheduled online. The most commonly available appointments are visits to your primary care physician. There are visits to specialists available, but it's limited, and it actually varies state by state depending on which region you are in, and it matters if you've seen the specialist before. So I think that's what we're seeing here, is that it has to do with those specialist visits being counted more in one than the other. So our answer to research question one was we saw that women were more likely to perform at least one PHR transaction. That kind of coincides with other research we've seen, where women are more likely to be the caregivers of their family, or more often in that role, and they may care for the entire family. Our seniors were more likely to perform at least one transaction. I think that's just a need for services, we suspect. You know, seniors have more need than younger members in general. Our higher income members were more likely to perform at least one transaction. And that, we think, kind of coincides with research showing that, in general, higher income is related to higher web use, in general. People with higher income just do more things on the web. And the fact that our non-Hispanic members were more likely, meaning that also that our Hispanic members were least likely to do these things. So one thing going on with our Hispanic population here at Kaiser is that the population as a whole is younger than the other three racial ethnic groups. So we're interested in looking at that more. We think that's more what's going on here, is that we're having a younger population that has less need for services. But we'll look into that more. When we're talking about the best predictors of feature use, we did see, of course, office visits as a significant predictor, as well as age was a common predictor. So for future research, we definitely want to look more at the relationship between age and race ethnicity in the research we're seeing, and especially with the Hispanic population, seeing how that's playing out, as well as looking at more complete picture of some of these features. For example, with lab tests, we talked about here the number of lab tests that were viewed online. What we didn't have available for this analysis was the number of lab tests that were available to be viewed. So we're working on getting that data right now. I think that's going to give us a much larger picture as to, are people viewing more labs because they are getting more labs done, or more labs released, or are they just viewing more? Similarly, with prescription refill, we're looking at just refills done online. We're going to expand that to look at all the refills that are done offline as well, to get an idea of what proportion of each group's refills are being done online. And we're looking forward to hopefully sharing those results next year. Thank you.